bring those sheets because we're doing a different kind of shir, I guess. Usually we do Nesiv Shalom, we do something in the Parsha each week, or in Yanei Diomo, depending on what's going on. But I guess we had a lot of questions about Tzipis El Yeshua. That's what we spoke about a little bit last week. We spoke about wanting the Gula, hoping for the Beis HaMikdash, things like that. And we sort of were at a loss because we're like, what exactly are we hoping for? Or why should we be hoping? Why should we stop everything we do and constantly be, you know, thinking about the Beis HaMikdash all day if it's something that's so foreign to us? You know, how do you connect to it, right? The example we gave was, or at least that I gave last week, was that I connect to my, or I miss, let's say, my grandfather, my father's mother. Sorry, doesn't make any sense. My mother's father, I miss a little bit because I met him. I knew him, he died when I was about 13. But my father's father, I never met. So it's like, it's hard to connect to something that you never met. Right? It's hard to know you need something when you've never had it either. Right? So how can we say we need the Beis HaMikdash, or our lives are lacking, our Yiddishkeit is lacking when we don't have the Beis HaMikdash? It's something so esoteric, so foreign to us. So like, how do we connect to that? So I was going through a lot of different Sfarim this week, trying to find different ideas that connect to it. I spoke to Rav Moshe T. Weinberg this week for a little while. We spoke for about 20 minutes the other day on the phone about this Inyan. He gave two Shirim, I think, last night about, one about building Beis HaMikdash, one about, I think, Tzipis El Yeshua in general. And he's speaking more on Shabbos, so we were, you know, sharing different ideas. So hopefully we'll share a mashal that he gave me in a little bit. I think that'll help. But I think we should, there's like a framework, I think. I have Mar Makomos that Rav Yehuda Teretzi sent me a few years ago about Tzipis El Yeshua. So he has like a couple approaches. First of all, we have to understand that there's a mitzvah of Tzipis El Yeshua. So I'll just quickly, I mean, we said these ideas outside, but it's good to note two or three sources inside. From there, we'll speak about tefillah and davening for the Geula. I think that will help be ma'or, that'll help, you know, engender that sense or cultivate that sense of Tzipis El Yeshua when we daven for the Geula and think about the Geula. Number three would be learning about the Beis HaMikdash, something you mentioned last week, that why don't we learn in schools? If Tzipis El Yeshua, if the Beis HaMikdash, Karbanos are so important, such a central part of Yiddishkeit, so like, I know I didn't learn any of that in YNJ, you know? I mean, we learned Karbanos in general, but like, I don't know anything about any kind of Karban or, you know, where everything's situated in the Beis HaMikdash or in the, like, all over in the Heichal and the Azara, everything. Like, there's so many details and it's so important, yet we seem to be missing out on that. So an important element would be learning Inyani Beis HaMikdash and Inyani Karbanos. And number four is, and I think this is the main point that we're going to speak about, is just the Shlemus, right? That our lives aren't Shalim without the Beis HaMikdash. Something, again, it's difficult to connect to because we feel like we're doing all right, you know, Bizman Azeh. Obviously, there are things that could be better, but, you know, on a grand scheme of things, things seem pretty good. So what exactly are we missing? So we'll just mention, I guess, two sources inside. And the first one is a smak in mitzvah aleph. The smak in his minyan mitzvah, so the first mitzvah he counts is the mitzvah of emunah b'Hashem. So he says we have to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one. He writes here, I have written down here, Leida she'oso she'bara shemayim v'aretz hu levado Moshe malo umata uba'arba ruchos. So you have to believe that he's the one who created the heavens and the earth. He rules over everything, downstairs, upstairs, shemayim, you know, aretz, everywhere in all different directions. And we know from it says in the Aser Sedibros, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, right? I am Hashem your God. V'yedate hayom ha'shivosa eluvecha, ki Hashem hu elokim ba'shemayim ima'al. In shemayim, he's our God. Val ha'aretz mitachas, he's our God. Ain't, oh, there's no one else beside the Kadosh Baruch Hu. He is the one and only. And then the smack says, just like we have a mitzvah to believe in the fact that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim and gave us that kind of geula, so too we have to believe in the geula la'asid, that Hashem will eventually take us out. And we know that the Gemara in Megillah, sorry, in Gemara Shabbos, we like to joke in our house, in the Kol, they told us, whenever you give shir, you should never say, like, there's a famous source, a famous Rashi, right? Because, you know, then you give a shir and say, there's a famous Rashi, and then happens to me all the time, I'm like sitting in shir, and I guess, like, oh, there's a famous, you know, Rebbe Kivager. And I'm like, I never heard of that. Like, what are you talking about? So I think this is a famous Gemara, though, that we're asked six questions when we get up to Shemayim. The first one we're asked...
Can we record this? Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, great. We're going right now. So the first question we're asked was, Nesata Nesata Be'emuna. Do we do business Be'emuna? Then we're asked, Kavati Itim LaTorah. Do we set aside time to learn? Asakta Be'piruviya. So are we Osek in Puruvu? And then the fourth question is, Tzipis El Yeshua. One of six questions we're asked you know, I assume there are many more questions after this, but there's six general questions. The basics, this is what you have to get down to be a Jew. There's six things that we have to have on our checklist. And one of them is Tzipis LeYeshua. Were we Mitzapa LeYeshua? And we spoke last week that it's not just a simple, we want the Beis HaMikdash, but it's a living every single day with that hope, Lishuascha Kivinu Kol Hayom, that all day I'm constantly thinking about the Beis HaMikdash, and I'm anxiously waiting, I'm anticipating the Beis HaMikdash coming. You know, does that mean we have to, you know, pack and have our, you know, Mashiach bag by the door? I don't know. I was talking to Corey Fuchs about that, and he was like, well, for guys, it's like pretty easy. He's like, how long does it take you to throw like your boxes, undershirts, like a couple shirts and pants? You're good. Like, it takes 4 minutes. You're good. Like, you're not going to miss your flight because of that. Maybe it's different for a guy and a girl, like if you have that bag packed. I don't know. But to the idea that we have to be longing for the Geula all day is an important idea. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Melachim, HaMelech HaMashiach Asud La'amod U'Lahachzir Malchus Beis David. So the Melech Mashiach is going to come back and he's going to restore Malchus Beis David. He's going to build Bona Mikdash, he's going to build the Beis HaMikdash, and he's going to gather all the people from all different exiles. So anyone who doesn't believe in this, and this is an important line, so someone who doesn't believe in that, or someone who doesn't, he's not mechake, he's not anxiously waiting for that. So it seems to be that there are two parts to it. There's the emunah, generally speaking, but there's also the mechake, the chikoi of waiting for Mashiach, anticipating any second it can come, you know? That's the idea of Tzipis LeYeshua, according to the Rambam. So we see here, again, that we have the mitzvah of Tzipis LeYeshua. So how do we connect to that in our daily lives? Again, because we were saying it's such, something so difficult to connect to. So I saw a couple different things when it comes to tefillah. Davening for the Beis HaMikdash, davening for the Geula. So if we think about Shemona Esrei itself, so how many brachos have to do with Geula? How many we got? Let's just count them. We have Es Tzemach David, right? Lishuasra Kivinu Kol Hayom. Vil Yerushalayim Ircha. Ritzei is about restoring the Avoda. Right? We have Re'eva Anyenu. That's Re'eva Anyenu is about the Geula also, so that's four. I was thinking, why isn't that next to the other ones? Right? If it's Vil Yerushalayim and then Es Tzemach right next to each other, and those are about Geula, so then what's with the brach of Geula, but there's also Tikabe Shofar Gadol L'Chirusenu, right? Sound the shofar and gather in everybody. Mikabe Sinchei Amo Yisrael. So there are a lot of brachos when it comes to Shemona Esrei about the Geula. A large chunk, almost a third of the davening. So Revolvi here in Ale Shor and Chilek Sheni discusses this. So I'll try to read it a little bit slowly because I know we don't have it inside and I'll translate everything outside. But he prefaces this one paragraph about tefillah, about a Yarei Shemayim. Someone who's very much connected to a Kaddish Baruch Hu feels the loss of the Beis HaMikdash in a very real way. They understand that we're lacking, we're missing something. So he says, B'sheish brachos anu mispalim b'shemona esrei al geula achrona. In six of the different brachos of Shemona Esrei, so a third of Shemona Esrei, we're talking about the geula. Mechaye mesim, so tchiyas mesim is going to happen by Mashiach. Goel Yisrael, mikabli sinuchay amo Yisrael. Bone Yerushalayim, Atzmiach Keren Yeshua, and then Hamachazir Shechina Sol Etzion, bring back your Shechina to Yerushalayim. So you have six brachos. V'kol ha'pachos shtei ha'brachos, ha'mesiach sos l'binyan Yerushalayim v'ha'mikdash. So he says, what should we do? He says, we should at least have kavana in two of these brachos about binyan Yerushalayim. V'ha'mikdash nispal b'in ha'mitzarim b'simas leiv meruba. During the 3 weeks especially, this is a piece relating to the 3 weeks in Tisha B'Av. During the 3 weeks, we should try to focus on two of six brachos in Shemona Esrei, right? He's very realistic, I think. He's not saying we should have Kavana all Shemona Esrei. He knows that's a difficult thing. But maybe for one, two brachos of Shemona Esrei, to stop for a second just to think that I really wish we could have the Beis HaMikdash. I really wish Yerushalayim can be restored. You know, to think about, the image I always have is when I first went to the Kotel in NCSY Kolel, the first time I went to Israel. So I remember getting off the bus in the Old City and like walking through and seeing all the Jerusalem stone. Right, and just thinking, you know, if only we had the Beis HaMikdash, like how much, like, I don't know, cooler is not a good word, but impressive, how much more majestic would it be if all the stones were built up and we really had the Old City, how it's supposed to be. Right? If Malchus Beis David was really restored, maybe that's something to think about. Close your eyes, think about what would Yerushalayim be like if we really had, if we had the Beis HaMikdash. When we say Bonei Yerushalayim, B'hamachazir Shechina Sol Letzion, when we think about those things, a rebuilt Yerushalayim and a restored Tzion with Hashem Shechina shorah there, then be an incredible thing. But birchas amazon, right? We during benching also miyad achrei hahuda al haaretz ve'al mazon anu mevakshim rachamim al chamisha devarim. Right? If you think about benching, so it's not simply about food. Truth is, most of it's not about food. Right? What do we say right after? We say thank you Hashem for the food, and then we say no to lecha. Right? For Eretz Chemda, Tov Rechava, about Yerushalayim. Then we say what? We ask, Rachim Na, Hashem Elokecha, right? Al Kla Yisrael, Al Yerushalayim Etzion, V'al Malchus Beis David, V'ha Mikdash. So five things we have there that we're also davening for in benching. Hare Achalnu L'Sava, we eat to be satisfied. U'miyad Aleinu L'Sbonein, V'zeh HaKol. Right? An awesome line. He says, right after we eat, we have to think like, okay, is that it? And you go to a nice meal at Shalitz or Melts or whatever it is, and you're stuffed, or a beautiful Shabbos meal, whatever it is. So like, you sort of sit back and say, "Wow, that was really great." But we have to remember when we bench, especially, that okay, it might be great, but it's not the greatest. It's not as good as it could be and should be, and how we need it to be. Sivias ritzoninu mimiloi hakeras yikochayenu is simply filling our bellies, filling our stomachs, all that we aspire to in life. Halo hatachlis hu akla Yisrael v'ashuras hashchina b'tzocho. Right? We have to realize that the tachlis of life is that dveikus b'Hashem, as we spoke about last week, of getting close to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, feeling the embrace of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. What we mentioned about the Kruvim last week, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so Hashem showed us the Kruvim embracing. So we know from school that the Kruvim embraced when we were doing Ratzon Hashem. If we weren't following Hashem's rules, so then they weren't facing each other. So how could it be that Bizman HaChorban, when the Beis HaMikdash was being destroyed, so it was embracing. So Nasi Yavashom had a whole mahalik explaining how that was really a Kaddish Baruch Hu, showing us how great is Ava is for us, even at times of Chorban, even when we're not doing the best that we should and things look really bleak for Bnei Yisrael, Hashem still loves us. And we have to realize that. So he's saying here that although that is true, Hashem loves us, so the greatest makom for Asherah Sashchina and that we can connect to a Kadosh Baruch Hu is the makom of Mikdash. They go see a Kadosh Baruch Hu there. And he says, Gam bivracha zo, yesh lanu l'chavim nesimas leith meruba bizman b'na mitzarim. So he says, we have to pay attention for two brachos of Shemona Esrei. And he says, also when we bench. I was thinking maybe that's like a reason to maybe wash more during the week, during the 3 weeks. I know we're at the last leg of the 3 weeks, but I was thinking about that.
Is that a thing?
Like, I don't know. That's when I saw that. I was wondering, like, are people makbid to wash during the 3 weeks? I guess we also mentioned it in Alam Echiyah, though, right? So I guess your yotz designed through that. But I don't know. I guess it's something to think about at the start of a meal also, not just at the end of the meal, mm-hmm. You know, to think about Yerushalayim. That's one thing that we can do to sort of be cognizant in our daily lives about the Beis HaMikdash and wanting the Geula. He says, so now he continues, and this is really moving on to part number four, which is the Shlemos. We'll mention it briefly in Revolbi, and then we'll go back to talking about learning about the Karbanos, and we'll jump back to Shlemos. But he says that we have to understand, Ha'avelas al ha'chorban v'harichut b'na mitzorim, hi ha'achana ha'rishona l'ha'malchus ha'borei al ha'olam, so that the avelos that we experience during the 3 weeks and the distance, the richuk we feel from HaKadosh Baruch Hu during the 3 weeks is the first step we need to take in terms of getting close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'yimei ha'ratzon u'b'yamim ha'noraim. Right? To sort of go from the darkness of the choshech of the 3 weeks, and then we finish up the summer, and then we get to Elul. And then from El, we go to the Yom Noram and Sukkot, and it's a tremendous time of Simcha, as we mentioned last week a little bit. Right? So, experiencing this Richuk and this distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the 3 weeks is the first step towards there. Ubaruhu, Misha Eino, Chosh Ba'ason She'in L'Shchina. So, someone who isn't like moved at all by this tragedy that we're not close with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that there's no makom kavua for Hashem ba'olam, Asher Beglal Zeh Habriya Meruchekes Mibora, and because that there's no makom for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, we're very distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ichu yachol his gagea his avos lehamalchus abore al habriya b'malchios zichronos l'shofros. Meaning someone who's not moved at all, someone who doesn't care, someone who isn't concerned that there is no makom for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then how can he go on and experience a Rosh Hashanah, a Yom Kippur, a Seris Mei Tshuva, and a Sukkot, where we're so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we spend most of the day davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we're not davening, we're in a Sukkot, we're doing mitzvahs, whatever it is, but we're so much connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how can we experience that in the truest form if we're not, you know, missing out on Hashem during the 3 weeks? The rest of the year, 100% it's true too, but specifically in the 3 weeks to sort of think about more and zero in on the fact that we don't have Hashem in the best way we could possibly have him in this world, that we miss HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We need to miss Hashem and to feel the loss of Hashem, and then we can go on and experience the Simcha. Sort of like we spoke about, I don't know if we mentioned this 2 weeks ago maybe when we spoke about Karbanos, but through the Choshech, that's how we can then experience the Or. So Jonah Steinmetz, my good friend, Jonah Steinmetz, Rav Meir Zev Steinmetz Shlita, he mentioned he gave a mashal. He gave a shir the other week. I listened to it online, and he gave a mashal. He said that it's kind of like childbirth. It's not that some people think that once the bad goes away, then memela you'll experience good. It's like a sur meira, right? So when you turn on the light, so then there's no more darkness, and it's automatically good. So he said it's not necessarily like that. He says it's dafka that the darkness or the bad situation that we're in now leads to the good. He says it's like his mashal was childbirth. He said it's not like that when the pain goes away, oh, and then memela you have a baby. He said it's only through the birthing pains that one can have a child. Right? That was his mashal. He said that you need to experience sometimes the choshech or the darkness or a bad situation to experience the good. So too, when we said that there were 22 days of the Bein HaMetzarim, the 22 days of the 3 weeks, and then the 22 days of Simcha that we experience in Tishrei, so we need to sort of take the steps in the right direction during Bein HaMetzarim to think about how far we are from a Kaddish Baruch Hu so that we can then experience the closest we have with a Kaddish Baruch Hu. So that was one idea that I saw about tefillah. And then another idea I saw about tefillah was what we mentioned, I think, in the name of the Sfas Emes last week or 2 weeks ago, about that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't let into Eretz Yisrael, and he davened in Parshas Veschanan 515 times to be allowed into Eretz Yisrael. And Hashem said, no, you can't do it. He said, Al Tosef, don't daven anymore, you're not allowed in. So the Sfas Emes quotes a Medrash saying that if one Jew would have davened one more tefillah, he would have been allowed in. It was a crazy thing. If one person, not just Moshe Rabbeinu, any kind of Jew would have davened for Moshe Rabbeinu, he would have been allowed in. But everyone thought, what? Oh, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't able to, so then I can't do it either. So the Sfas Emes says, well, you guys missed the boat. We have to believe in the koach of our tefillah. So I saw in another sefer earlier today, he says the same idea when it comes to the 3 weeks in davening for the Beis HaMikdash. Now, how often do we say, oh, come on, my tefillah, what's it going to do? Me thinking about Yerushalayim for 5 minutes a day, is it really going to help at all? So we have to really believe in our kochos and the power and the influence that every single one of our actions have. And that's something that I think will give us chizik through the 3 weeks to realize that every single thing we do has a potential to bring the Beis HaMikdash. And that'll make, again, everything we do, the mitzvos that we do, the tefillos that we say, everything we do will have more power, more effect, because we believe in them. And that's something incredibly important to think about. So then, so Elisheva mentioned last week, so why don't we learn about the Beis HaMikdash? It's so distant. What do we do with that? So the Chofetz Chaim, we said last week, I think, and I'm quoting a lot from the past couple of weeks, it's all a big mush in my mind, but we spoke about how he would practice the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash in his apartment. Something unbelievable. Like, he was a Kohen, he wouldn't drink wine the whole year, because he was choshish that the Beis HaMikdash would come any minute, and then he would do the Avodah. And if you drink wine, you can't do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. So he refrained from wine, and he'd practice the Avodah a couple times a year. But he was very, very big on getting yeshivas to learn Kachim. Kachim are all about the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, the Avodah of the Karbonos, and everything going on in the Beis HaMikdash. So he said, we have to be learning these things. And he wrote a whole entire essay that he sent out. He called it the Maimer Tzipisa LeYeshua, fittingly. And he spoke about the importance of, A, learning Kachim, and constantly yearning and waiting for Mashiach. And then he wrote another sefer called Likutei Halachos. So if you look at a Gemara, so Gemaras are sometimes intimidating because they're very, very thick. But if you open up the Gemara, not so much of it is Gemara. Right? If you look in the back, there are a lot of Rishonim and Achronim in the back. So one of the Rishonim in the back is known as the Rif. So he wrote a halachic commentary on the Gemara, and it's basically Psak Halacha from the Gemara. So if you want to know Halacha Lamaisa, what do we get from the Gemara? And there's often like a whole lot of back and forth going on. So all you need to do is look at the Rif, and you can see how the Rif paskins. So obviously there are going to be other Rishonim who argue on the Rif, but the Rif has his Psak Halacha. However, the Rif didn't write on Kachim.
The Rif is like who we follow?
Part of. There's like a whole halachic process. You know, if the Rif, the Rosh, and the Rambam will paskin one way, there's a lot about that. But he's one of the major Rishonim, or one of the poskim that we look to in terms of Halacha. But so he didn't write on Kachim, though. He didn't write Psak Halacha on Kachim. Now, I don't know what the reason is for that necessarily. I don't know if it was because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash and it wasn't Halacha L'maisa, or it was, you know, a little bit esoteric, he didn't really know. I don't really know. But the Chofetz Chaim wrote a sefer called the Likutei Halachos. The Chofetz Chaim went through Shas, probably several times, or more than that. But he wrote a Perush, he wrote a Psak Halacha on all the Gemaras that discussed the Avodas in the Beis HaMikdash. Anything that had to do with Kachim, anything that had to do with Avod in the Beis HaMikdash, he wrote Piskei Halacha. And he said this would be the Halacha. Oh, we'll follow Rabbi Yeshua here. We'll follow Rabbi Meir here. So he was saying, when he writes in his Hakdama, he has like a, I don't know, 7-page Hakdama, whatever it is, discussing the importance of learning Kachim. And he says, Mashiach is delaying. He isn't coming because he's afraid that what's going to happen? You know, he's going to come. He's going to blow a shofar, knock on everyone's door. He says, Chever, let's go. Mashiach's here. And what's going to happen? Excuse me, tomorrow morning we're going to bring a carbon talmud. And everyone's going to get the Beis HaMikdash all excited, and we're like, wait, who said they were going to like study this, you know? Who said they were going to be in charge of this? He says, Mashiach's not coming because we don't know the halachos that pertain to the Beis HaMikdash. So he says, everyone has to learn a little bit of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, I was trying to, I know that might not be so halach l'maisa for everyone here, so I was trying to figure out how that exactly plays out. I'm not 100% sure, so that's my bad, I would say. Be the first one to admit that. But to learn about the Beis HaMikdash, at least as a structure, how it's built, what it looks like, I think is something that's really cool. I know there, I don't know why it's only in a lot of sukkahs we find that, the pictures of the Beis HaMikdash.
Yeah.
Right? I think I got your family that when I came for sukkahs.
You did.
There you go. But I don't know, I feel like homes also have pictures of the Beis HaMikdash. Just to look at it. You know, I know there's like an Indian of looking at the face of a tzaddik. Maybe there's an Indian to look at the Beis HaMikdash.
So
next time. But just to look at it, say like, wow, how amazing would it be if we just had it? To long for the Beis HaMikdash. I think if we look at it, we'll see like, we'll connect to it a little bit more. And I think that's something very, very powerful. There you go. Okay. And then the last thing I wanted to speak about was this Shlemus. The Shlemus of how we're not, our lives aren't Shalem without the Beis HaMikdash. Rav Moshe Tzvi told me to check out Hashem Yishmuel in Parshas Tolos and again in Parshas Baal Oscha, who talks about that no matter how good things are, Ba'olam Hazeh, no matter how good we have it in life, so nothing will ever be perfect without the Beis HaMikdash. Once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so there's no more Shlemus in this world. This idea I saw in several other Sfarim, the Sfas Emes writes on Parshas Devarim actually, he says, Ube emes ein lanu mitzias begalus. We have no reality. There is no reality in Galus. Bechesron Eretz Yisrael, Beis HaMikdash. When Eretz Yisrael and the Beis HaMikdash aren't complete, so then there's like nothing. We're living like fake lives right now because we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. And again, Rav Schwab writes in Parshas Vayigash, when Yosef and Binyamin meet, so this was also pointed out to me by Rav Moshe Tzvi, so he said that they cried tears. And Rashi says, why did they cry tears? They cried tears because the Beis HaMikdash was eventually going to be destroyed in the land of Binyamin. So why were they crying tears? So he says that basically they were really crying tears of joy. They're embracing for the first time, they're crying tears of joy. But he writes there that really when one cries, even tears of joy, why do we cry when we're so happy and we're so elated? And it doesn't really make so much sense. So he says that it's subconscious. We're crying because we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. And that no joy that we ever experience in life is really complete without the Beis HaMikdash. Right? We step on a glass, we break a glass underneath the chuppah, we sing a mesh kachay. Why is that? She has no. It might be the happiest day in one's life, but no matter how special that day is, and at the most special moment of that special day, we have to remember that, okay, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. Mesh kachay Yerushalayim, like, how can we forget? You know, to remember that things aren't complete without the Beis HaMikdash. So I saw in my notes, I couldn't find it inside by Rav Pinkus, but Rav Pinkus says, like, what are we missing? You know, because again, as much as we're saying, okay, life's not Shalom without it, so it's hard for us to connect to that.
Right, things like, what does that really mean?
Things do seem pretty good. Like, so Rav Pinkus has one approach, and he says, well, again, the goal of life is Dveikus Ba'Hashem. Right, to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everyone in their own way, but we have to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the goal. So he says, we have to realize that the Makom HaMikdash, with the Beis HaMikdash, was the epicenter for Hashoras HaShechina and Giloy Hashem. That when we had the Beis HaMikdash, there was a Giloy HaShechina. We saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day. The Navi even writes that the Goyim used to go to the Beis HaMikdash and see Beis Yaakov, it says, to go see Bnei Yisrael serving a Kadosh Baruch Hu and Hashem revealing Himself to Bnei Yisrael and watch how the Jews conducted themselves. And then they would go back home and try to recreate this moral, ethical society because they learned that from the Jews. So it's not a chisaron without the base mikdash, just vis-a-vis Bnei Yisrael, vis-a-vis the whole entire world, right? The umos to olam. We know how crazy the world is now. You know, some person is getting shot now every single day, whether it's a policeman, whether it's a policeman shooting someone else. The world's crazy. Every day you look at the news, something else nuts just happened. But why is that? It's poshut. We don't have a base mikdash. You know, if you think about it like that. If we had the base mikdash, everyone would be learning from Bnei Yisrael and how we interacted with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, and they'd go back home and say, okay, we have to follow the Jews and figure out what they do and sort of recreate that amongst ourselves. But without the Beis HaMikdash, there's no Gilui Shechin in this world. Or at least there's a much, to a much lesser degree. So that's where Pinchas is. That's what we're kind of thinking about, that we wish that we have the Beis HaMikdash, because again, if the goal is Dveikos Bashem, and as much as we can be Davak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu now, we can be so much more Davak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu by the Beis HaMikdash. That was one idea. Rav Moshe Tzvi had a mashal when we were talking. He said he just thought of it on the spot, but we both thought that it was a really good idea. He said when someone's sick, right, if someone has a lo aleinu, a very life-threatening disease, let's say, and they've tried different medicines and different things, medications, whatever it is, and nothing's really curing it. So they're a little bit despondent or depressed, whatever it is. They think like, hey, I don't know what I'm going to do anymore. Then they read in the news that there's some, you know, whatever, in India, let's say, there's this chevra getting together of doctors, and they've created this new, medication, or what's the word I'm looking for?
Treatment,
there you go. A new treatment. A new way to treat this disease. And it's a lot of money, and he has to travel very, very far. And eventually it's going to come to America, but he needs it. So what would you think? So the guy has gone through all the different kinds of treatments, all the different kinds of medications, and nothing's worked so far. But he sees in the papers, and the doctors overseas are saying that this is going to treat the disease. So what does the guy say? He might not be a doctor. He's a regular guy. He's been in the hospital a lot. But he's going to say, hey, I believe it. I know it can treat me. I don't exactly know all the medical jargon and exactly how it's going to cure me, but the doctors are saying it works. And the doctors are saying, this is what I need. And my doctors in America said that if you can either get to India or somehow get this medication or this treatment, so then things are going to be okay. So if you're the patient, you're sitting there with this disease, so all you're thinking is, I don't really get it. I don't really know how it's going to work. But I trust my doctors. And my doctors tell me, this is what I need to make everything better in my life. Right? So he said, the Nimshol is the Beis HaMikdash. Our rabbis and our parents and everyone's always told us that the Beis HaMikdash is what we need. You know, we sing the song, we want Mashiach now as kids, whatever it is, but that's something we want and we need. We don't really understand it. It doesn't really make so much sense to us. It's super esoteric. It's incredibly far removed from us. Elamai what? We have to believe that it's going to cure all problems. And it's going to make everything better. And everything that we struggle with in life and the religious struggles we have, everything is going to be cured once we have the Beis HaMikdash. And I think that's all the more, that's, you know, how much more so should we be yearning for Mashiach when we know that. When we know that the Beis HaMikdash is going to cure all of our problems, all of our religious problems, all of our problems, everything in life that we struggle with, once we have the Beis HaMikdash, it's all going to be okay. So for someone, let's say, to have certain religious struggles and say, you know, forget it, I'm out. Why do I even want the Beis HaMikdash? I'm done. Nothing's going to work. That's like, Dafka, the reason one should be yearning for the Geula, right? To say, okay, this treatment, I don't know what it is, I don't really know everything, but I know everyone's telling me it's going to cure the disease. So that's what we're yearning for. We're shooting for the Geula. We want to see that Gilui Shechina, to understand that Hashem's in this world and to connect to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, because again, that's the name of the game.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
So is the reason why everybody's going to like figure out all their problems and their troubles are all going to go away is because there's going to be like an extreme Giloy Shechina and it's like everything will just make sense so all the problems go away? Or like why are all problems just going to go away?
So I guess it depends on the problems. That's A. They say by Matan Torah. So they say by Matan Torah, right, anyone who had a physical ailment I think was cured.
So it was like me going into nursing, being like, I don't believe in that Mashiach's going to come, because if I believe that, I would be like a lawyer, because like people are always going to have business problems, or like I should be a teacher, because they're always going to need people to teach Torah.
I don't think so.
Not saying that I don't want to be a nurse, I'm just saying that...
No, I don't think so, because even...
But then why?
At those times, there are people who are Balei Mumim, people, even with the Beis HaMikdash, people right? A Kohen who became a Baal Mum can't serve in the Beis HaMikdash, right? So if he became injured.
But why would he get injured?
So I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know if it's going to cure all of our physical ailments. It could be the first thing you're suggesting that we mentioned from the Chavetz Chaim last week, that all of our questions in life, everything like, oh, tzadik v'ralo, anything that seems wrong, or we don't understand it. So once we have the Geula, once the Geula comes, it's all going to be like, oh, we understand everything now. Everything is going to make sense, right? The Gemara says in Baruchos that we say Baruch Atov Meitiv when something good happens, but Baruch Dayan Emes when something bad happens. But they say in Shemayim or Lasad Lavo, they only say Baruch Atov Meitiv. What's Pshat? Because when we get there, so we're going to realize that everything Hashem does, He has a plan. So no matter what happens in life, we're going to be like, okay, yeah, Hashem, it makes sense. He knows what He's doing. He knows
like
what He's...
Like maybe you will want to get cured, but it's like you know
that but it's for the good.
Yeah. So it's right. Kind of like you're cured.
Maybe.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know enough about the topic. That's the truth. So that's probably the first answer. I don't know. And then the rest is us sort of just...
I know. Well, it's like everyone's always saying, like, oh, what's it going to be about Mashiach?
Right.
We just don't know.
Right. We just want it so bad. You know? We don't know what's going to be.
Well,
but
you should go into, like, nursing where kids get checkups.
Right.
Then maybe they won't.
Should be in midwifery, right?
Right. Well, we don't get that.
But I guess we'll just close with this one idea about the moed shel richuk, right? That it is a moed, right? Tisha B'Av Chazal call it a moed. How can it be a yomtiv? So some Chazal and Revolbi talks about this in Alisher also that it's a moed shel richuk. It's a time to sort of see how distant we are from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and again to want that closeness with Hashem. But I think also to sort of think about how or why we are rachuk from Hashem. To sort of think like, okay, what could we be doing better in our own daily lives to get closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu? I ordered, I actually just hung this up in the back room of our house, but I ordered from some website a while ago, probably over a year ago, some sticker, like a wall sticker, and it says like, Nu, what did you do today to help bring Mashiach? Or something like that. I think it's from a Chabad website. It makes sense, right? So we stuck it in the back room. But, But just saying, like, okay, you know, when we go to sleep at night, like, to think, like, okay, what did I do today that I can, like, say, like, I think I brought the Geula, I brought Bnei Yisrael one step closer to the Geula. Whether it was saying something nice to a friend, whether it was helping someone who needed help, whatever the case may be, but to sort of just do maybe one thing a day, right? Revolbi says, we should pay attention for two brachos, one bracha in Shemona Esrei. So, One act a day, two acts a day of Maisin Tovim, Gemilas Chasadim, sort of say, hey, I know that I helped put up another brick or two to the Beis HaMikdash. I'm bringing the Geula one step closer. And I think when we live a life like that, so in the Mela, there's not going to be any Richuk. Because our whole lives are just sort of, they're totally focused on the perspective that we're looking, the goggles or the glasses that we have in life is, what am I doing to help bring the Geula? And then when we have that kind of perspective on life, so it's always going to be about Kirvas Elokim, because we're just going closer, we're getting closer and closer and closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Geula, and hopefully the Geula should come b'mehir v'yameinu.